This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write, readers to read, and the perfect place for pilots to fly. In World War II, this was a training ground for MacDill Airport. And I am so happy to be able to talk to somebody who knows pilots, because this is a fantastic story. My husband was in the Israeli Air Force, and so I have been around pilots most of my life. And I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper Sarah Jane Geary, and she has written a book called My Pilot, A Story of War, Love, and ALS. Hi, Sarah Jane.
Oh, hi, Patsy. So nice to be with you today.
Well, this is a thrill for me. You know, as I said, I've been around pilots and airplanes for so many years. Pilots are just special guys, aren't they?
Oh, they sure are. And I've known quite a few in my life. In fact, we lived in Tampa from 1963 to 67. And that's when the F-4 Phantom came off the assembly line in St. Louis at McDonnell Aircraft. So we were stationed in Tampa, and I got to know that part of Florida pretty well.
Well, and it's a wonderful place for flying all through World War II. And then, of course, when the Phantoms came, MacDill was the major base here and still is. I was so happy when I got your book, because this is an amazing story about your husband. I must say, I love the photograph on the cover.
Oh.
He's wearing a Robin Olds mustache.
Yes, which really wasn't the thing then, but they got away with it. So,
well,
if it for very long, but anyway, was teased about it a lot.
Oh yeah, I know. They Christina Olds, Robin Olds' daughter, has been on my program, and she's going to be on again next month.
Oh really?
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about her book that she wrote with her father. He was the one who came out with that mustache, and they didn't dare tell him to shave it off. A lot of the guys followed along, and your husband looks great. This book that you've written, My Pilot, A Story of War, Love, and ALS, is an award-winning and, you know, a critically acclaimed book that you've gotten a lot of attention for, because both for the fact that he was a pilot and then the ALS that came along later on. So what do you want to tell us about your husband?
I met him in college. He was 19 years old. He was from Chicago, Illinois, and his parents were born in Germany. So he went to Coe College in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I was from St. Louis. I kind of knew we were made for each other right away, but, you know, I love quotes. One of my favorite quotes is from William James that says, "The purpose of a college education is to teach you how to know a good man when you see him." And I sure did.
So you saw Bernie. Tell us the first time you saw Bernie.
Well, I was walking across campus, and he had a girlfriend, and I was by myself, but I was going with another guy. That was my freshman year. So we walked back as sophomores, kind of having not gone the dating route with Kenning and all that, and we got to know each other through, it was actually a blind date, but we knew who we were, and I kept diaries then. So when I was doing this book, reading Bernie's letters from Vietnam, I was reading my college diaries, and our first date was for homecoming, and by December, I wanted to marry him. I mean, that was it. And, you know, in those days, there were still World War II guys, you know, used to come back, and they were married after the war, going to college. But my mother said, "Well, how are you going to support yourselves?" I said, "Well, I guess that's true." So after 2 years, I came home St. Louis and worked, and Bernie continued on through ROTC. I covered then little bits and pieces about his abilities when he would get up and give the Veterans Day tribute in front of the whole chapel, which we had to do once a month. So I thought, gee, he's kind of the leader type. You know, I didn't realize it, and then through ROTC, he became the commander there, and he graduated with wings because they learned to fly, and he joined the Air Force. He was the second lieutenant, and our long marriage, I learned a lot more about him, and it told me that he had an ability of character. It shone through those Vietnam letters when he was 27, and he died at 74, and he just was an inspiration for me and for the people he knew here. He was worked for the airlines and was furloughed three times. And my book is just full of history about her ups and downs. As Bernie used to say, people would, knowing he was a pilot, they'd always say, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I have my ups and downs," which was a corny joke, but one I tell right now after he's been gone for nine years now. So, but he was a wonderful guy. And reading his letters, I said, I have to pass this down to my kids. I have to tell a story that is an unfiltered draft of history, not only Vietnam, but everything the country went through with the assassinations, furloughs, and that all happened. And we went through it. And we persevered.
Well, your book is filled with wonderful stories. You were a very observant person. You noticed things. And as you said, you kept a diary. And that's something that I encourage people to do, because comes a time where in your life you might want to write a book. And it is nice if you've kept a diary or you've kept notes. And you tell a really wonderful story. All of your stories are fascinating. When we talk about the Vietnam years, though, he went on 214 combat missions.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yes, it was a lot. He only had one commitment there for a year. Came back a little bit early because he had he'd been shot down, and he had jumped out of a couple of planes, and they let him off a little early. But it was a year of commitment. And it wasn't like later with Kukurk and Iraq, where they've been sending these guys back again and again and again in the last 20 years. Bernie had 1 year of commitment in Vietnam. But when he got out in 1967, he came home. He came home in 66. 67, he got out of the Air Force because he did his five-year commitment. And the airlines were calling. So a lot of Bernie's friends decided, why should we one up and stay in the Air Force? We might be going back to Vietnam. And look at the airlines. The jumbos are coming out, and they're all dying for Air Force-trained pilots. So that's what he did. He did his commitment in Vietnam. He enjoyed it. It was poignant, and it was a deep experience for him that I shared, not only by his telling me, which wasn't all, but it was by having his letters and then reading them after he died again. And I thought, oh my goodness, I could read between the lines then. I'd had the experience. But when I was young, I couldn't. So I knew what he was going through.
So where did you spend that year while he was in combat?
I was in Tampa. We went there from 1963, from pilot training in Texas, the year after we left Iowa. They sent him to MacDill for 5 years. And it was the 12th Fighter Wing, and they were gearing up for Vietnam. They had gone through the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I don't want to interrupt here, Patsy, but I have a repeat on the phone. Do you have one?
No, I don't. Our quality's good.
Okay, all right. But anyway, so where were we?
In Tampa.
Tampa. Yeah, okay. So those were the commitment years. He did so many things during that time. He went on long trips. He went to jump school. He did everything he could to make himself a better pilot. And I learned a lot from that. And I made friends with the Air Force family because I stayed with my family there. My mom had passed away in St. Louis. I did go home Christmas those 2 years he was gone. His parents lived in Chicago, and they were great. So that was wonderful. But it was, I love Florida, but Pan Am was saying you can come to California or you can come to New York City. So we chose to go to New York in 1967. My sister lived out in Stony Brook, Long Island, and he would be flying out of JFK. So that's where we were most of our life after that.
And
he died in 2013. We were on Long Island.
He flew Pan Am, which I loved. I loved Pan Am. My first flight to Europe was in a Pan Am, and the last flight I escaped from Iran was in a Pan Am. And wonderful. Flying in those days was so much different from what it is today.
Oh, I know it was. And I enjoyed it. I knew how lucky we were. he was furloughed three times in the 70s. And during the time he was laid off as a furlough, he kept his seniority number. Flight attendants could go get another job at United when it was laid off and maybe come back when they called them, but pilots couldn't. So he went with the Air National Guard on Long Island. Actually, it was a New York Air National Guard. And they were flying tankers and, you know, 102s. And they moved them out from Brooklyn to West Hampton Beach. So during the times he was laid off from Pan Am, he flew with the Guard. And he worked his way up through the officers and the Guard. And then when Pan Am recalled, finally, at the late 80s, and then they went bankrupt in 94, he became commander out there. And he had to go upstate for operations, commander of operations, because he had to fly for Pan Am now and be commander. So he was just full of flying. He loved it so much. And when they went, when Pan Am went, Delta bought the international crew and the airplanes, the Airbus 310s, 320s. So he went with Delta the last few years to get a pension. You know, you don't get much of a pension when your company goes bankrupt.
Yeah. So. But he had all those wonderful years of flying. And for born pilots, it's just, they're so happy when they can fly.
Oh, they are. And, you know, he was happy, too, because he had a friend who was a captain at TWA. And when they retired out there, they would rehab houses. They were both great carpenters. And our fellow Ronnie, when he was furloughed, he would build back porches for people. So a lot of those pilots were talented in other ways.
Oh, definitely. And yeah. They had that spirit. They want to do something. They're always doing something. It was like my husband. He had his flying years, but and then when we lived in England, we had a sort of joint ownership of a plane. We flew a lot from London. We flew all over Europe out of London, out of an old RAF base. And
oh my goodness!
Yeah, it was lots of fun. It had a grass runway too, so it was fantastic. Gosh, when you get around pilots, they are so dynamic. Whether you're just sitting around having a beer, they're special people.
Oh, they certainly are, and the stories that they have are just priceless. My cousin, who was in Vietnam for many times and wrote wonderful books about it, just sent me a whole book on Air Force songs, the kind that they'd sing around the bar, you know, and make up. It goes from the Civil War on up. Not the Civil War. I mean the First World War.
First World War.
Yeah, the biplane pilots.
Yeah.
And I thought, ooh, I could write an essay about this, and then I read them. And I thought, no, I don't want to say some of that stuff. It was a little, what would you say, testy, but they did it. And I like being around them too. So I guess we're alike in that way.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to tell Big Ed in the control room to get a pilot song ready. He's going to get my favorite pilot song ready, and I will play it before I let you go today, because...
Cool.
I'm myself involved in working with Thud pilots, the F-105. I have a project called Forgotten F-105 Warriors. And so I've spent a lot of time with pilots, also, you know, at reunions and with the ground crews doing research. Because that's why Christina Olds is going to be on, because I always love to talk to anybody who's a pilot, a wife of a pilot, daughter of a pilot, because we share a very special bond, I think.
Oh, I think so. And I just read a book by Anne Hood. Have you heard of her?
Mm-hmm.
She's a great writer, and it's called Fly Girl.
Yeah, I know. You know, this is, yeah, this is, you know, this is so fantastic. All of the publicists in New York who send me books, they all know if they have a book that has anything about a pilot, send it to me, because that's what I love so much. One of my guests was on the program, and she's 99 years old, And she was married in World War II, just before D-Day. Her husband was a pilot. And she wrote a book. So it's fun. And I'm so happy that you wrote this book. You're a natural storyteller. You tell a great story. And I want to take a little time to tell about your own adventures here, because you had an adventure where you were asked to, I don't know, take part in a sting operation.
Yes, yes. Who would have known in a nice little neighborhood right outside the gate of MacDill Air Force Base? But mostly young people, and a detective came to the door because Bernie had, they had credentials being an Air Force pilot, and he knew, and he said, you have a burglar living next door to you, a professional burglar. And this couple moved in. They spoke Spanish. We didn't think anything of it because the Cubans were coming up. So I said, oh, well, you know, I don't really talk to them because they don't talk to me very much. And he asked me if I would not, well, I guess he did. He didn't say the word spy. But what I watched carefully, anything that was, and he said, don't worry. There is no gun in the house. And he said, he's got a wife and kid here. And on the other side of Tampa, he's got a wife and kid. You're the cover. You're the cover. You're in this nice neighborhood, middle class, you know, military people. And he gets dressed up like a businessman, flies to Miami, and does his heist there. So I did. I got some info on him, and actually, it paid off. He went to prison in a couple of years.
I thought that was, well, you know, sort of.
You know, it was fun, though. I really wasn't that scared. I don't know why. I guess I was too young. I was only 26, 28.
I thought you told that story so well. When I was reading, I was thinking to myself, my goodness, you have the makings of a novelist. You could turn that into a novel.
Well, you know what? I tried to. I went up to Breadloaf in the 80s. I was an artist and a painter, and I started teaching in my 40s. And I wrote this story based on, it was what I'd gone through as an Air Force wife. And it was the chapter 4, I think, in my pilot. It was the night they went to Vietnam. And I always remember that, so I wrote it. And they all said, oh, you got to go to Breadloaf, make a great book. So I tried a fiction book with it. And I used another character rather than myself. I used a young woman who married a pilot who didn't like the service. And there were a handful of them I met. It was very difficult. It was a difficult life, and I changed the whole thing. But I based it on the info I knew, and it didn't go. I didn't even try to send it anywhere. But as I was writing it, I thought, wow, did I do those things? Was I that crazy?
Well, that's why when I was reading this, I was thinking, really, you know, as I mentioned, the author who was on my program, Eugenia Lovett West, is 99 years old. She celebrated her 99th birthday on the program. And last year, she wrote a book about cybercrime. Now, you know, if you're 99 years old and you can do, she did a year's research on cybercrime and wrote the book. It's a fine book. I was thinking, I think this story about the criminals next door, it's such a wonderful story. You could really turn that into a novel and have fun with it.
Well, you know, if I could think of a pill to keep me up all night, I could write all day. You know, I could be doing lots of getting lots of things out. You're absolutely right. It's a story that it seems like it's not real and not believable. How could one girl go through that? But I did.
You did. And I think it would make a wonderful, you know, in the end, when you want to get a book done, if you just say to yourself, I'm going to do 500 words a day, you know, by the end of the year, you've got a full, nice size novel. And with your talent, I mean, you're very observant. And that's one of the lovely things about this book. You really take us back in time to these places, and you're able to make them come alive. And that's a great talent.
Yeah. Well, thank you. As I was a youngster, I'm working on a book now. It's my third book. My first book was a memoir, historical memoir of my mother's remarkable family in Minnesota. So then I wrote this my pilot. I'm writing one about my grandparents. My dad was from Missouri. And I have so much information on it. I'm putting it together. but they've all passed on now, mostly. I have a few cousins there. But I'm writing it from memoirs and from newspaper articles. They were pretty notable people, did remarkable things. And I can tell what it was like as a child being with them up to the age of 18. And then the last one passed on. But it's not like living it, like having the kids, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, this book is, I mean, it's a memoir, but... As I said, it reads so well, and it reads in so many places like a novel. I'm going to just read one paragraph. Yeah, I'm going to read it so people can hear, because I want them to get this book.
Okay.
The cafe door opened suddenly. The loadmaster waddled in, his boots puddling the linoleum. He grabbed the nearest coffee cup and gulped it. Now, this is not just memoir writing. This is an observant, brilliant writer writing. You have to write a novel, I'm telling you. You have that kind of a way with words. I think it's beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I have dabbled in it, and I will probably dabble some more. I have a terrific writing group here in Montclair, and there's maybe 100 people in all, but there's mystery writers, there's fiction, there's nonfiction poetry. And
you have to dabble in some fiction, because you are a natural talent. Really, you really are. And I hope that...
I've done one on my father-in-law as a young boy during World War I growing up in Germany. And he died at 99, and he lived with us the last 8 years of his life, and he told stories. So I've written kind of a children's book on it.
Well,
and I want to do something with that, too.
Good!
His stories were unbelievable. As a 9-year-old boy, he guarded Russian prisoners on a German farm. It was just unreal. And he remembered Russian. He remembered the Russian prisoners. He was born in Bremen. But anyway, that's for another story.
And I know Bremen very well, too. There's lots of connections. Yes, I've been there many times. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons I was there was my husband and I shipped a white Cadillac from the United States to Bremen, where we took it, and that was a car that we drove all around Europe, this big white Cadillac. We went from one end of the Europe to the other, and actually drove it to Iran. So I've been there many times. Well, you know, that's what I loved about this book. It's a really, sometimes people will say, well, you know, it's a memoir, is it well written, and you know, is it easy to read? And this book, as I said, it reads so beautifully, and it is called My Pilot, A Story of War, Love, and ALS. And we didn't get really into the ALS part, the last part of his life. It was a difficult time for you.
Oh, yes. It was a difficult time. He had a back trouble, and we knew something was wrong, and it kind of came to a head when my kids said, we've got to do something about it. And a friend we hadn't seen in a while said, there's something the matter with the way he walks. So we found a wonderful neurologist in New York City, Dr. Lang, and went from there. He did not have to use a wheelchair. He'd only been diagnosed February of 2012, and he died the next year. But he was well enough that I took him on a vacation out west, and I made him go for a ride in a biplane, which he wanted. He could do these things with help. We just knew what the prognosis was for
Yeah, for ALS,
some
there's
live a long time, and some don't, you know. But anyway, I've been so blessed by the organization that helped us, ALS Ride for Life, on Long Island, and I'm donating all the proceeds to them. They just made it possible for me to have a support group, the caregivers, and we would exchange, we would talk, we would have conferences on the phone without last names about a mother that had it. A child, or you know,
yeah,
it was just wonderful. And they were very kind, Bernard. And in fact, they showed us a new way to breathe, because he was losing his breath. Is one thing. It was like a pacemaker put on your diaphragm.
Wow!
And it was a new deal then. Well, he had it put on, and it didn't work right. Yeah, it didn't work, and he had blood clots, and he had. That went to his lung, and it would have turned out better, you know, had it worked. but they were trying these new things. And Bernard said he met a young fellow, that this very well-known chef.
Well, you know,
so he tried that and it didn't work. So he passed on.
Well, Sarah Jane, I'm so happy that you were on Joy on Paper today. The name of the book is My Pilot, A Story of War, Love, and ALS. Sarah Jane Geary.
My website's sarahjanegeary.com, and I have a blog on there, and I write about some of my trips to Germany and things like that.
Okay, I just want to spell it for people, because it's spelled like it's got a different spelling, G-I-E-R-E. Sarah Jane Geary, go there. You can find Sarah Jane's blog. Definitely get this book. It's beautifully written.
It's in big print, Patsy, and it's also on ebook and audiobook.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Sarah Jane. Thank you very much for being on Joy on Paper today. Now, hold on. We're going to play a song on the way out. I think as the wife of a pilot, you will love this song.
Okay. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed talking.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
It is my body. I am its brain. My thunder chief loves me, and I love her too. But I get the creeps with only one seat and one engine too. She's faster than lightning, it says on her dials. To get a thud airborne takes only 2 miles. She's packed with transistors, black boxes, diodes. But stay alert, cause you might get hurt when she explodes. She totes more bombs.
I love pilots. Yeah, it was wonderful. You have to get this book, My Pilot. Bye-bye now.